Welcome to the Presentation Podcast. Join us from inside the design studios for conversations about presentation design, strategies, tips and tricks, running a design studio, and more. All for presentation designers, managers, and presenters. Here are your hosts, Troy Collar, Nolan Hames, and Sandra Johnson.
Hi, I'm Troy Collar from TLC Creative Services, Inc., based in Southern California.
Welcome to the Presentation Podcast. I'm Sandy Johnson in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
And I'm Nolan Hames from Nolan Hames Creative in Warming Up, Montclair, New Jersey.
Warming up. You know, when we started this podcast, I told Sandy before you hopped on, Nolan, that I was walking upstairs with my nice warm cup of tea going, it's really cold out. And then I realized I probably shouldn't voice that to either of my co-hosts because they live in much colder environments. So glad to hear it's warming up.
Right. And you were just mentioning you're about to go to Miami too. So that's a...
Yeah, you try not to work in, say, Chicago or New York this time of year. What else is happening? Anybody got cool things happening in their studios, personal lives?
It seems like every one of my clients was on vacation and or had the flu in the beginning of January. So they're now all back with a vengeance, trying to catch up, trying to, you know, say, hey, is that proposal from 2 months ago still valid? So I'm doing a lot of that. I'm doing a large rush InDesign project. And I got to say, every single day I work on it, it's a reminder that we still don't have paragraph or character styles in PowerPoint.
I could talk to you about that right now.
Me too.
I was going to say, like, where has that whole conversation been left? And do we need to sort of bring it up again?
I think so.
We completely should.
Maybe we'll talk about that at the summit.
Exactly. I'm creating yet another infographic in PowerPoint. Because the clients request it. They love the concept of infographic, but they want it in PowerPoint, and I'm glad to do it. But for the reasons Nolan just described, it becomes a nightmare. So I just think Microsoft has to address the whole print component. People are using PowerPoint more and more for everything else.
Oh, it's not just print. I would do it across presentations to create styling for...
So
Nolan, I just got to go on this because this was literally just yesterday for me. I opened up a document, InDesign document. It's like a 3-page text-based document, and the content wouldn't fit because suddenly the new paragraph literally wrapped it just too much. Like, okay, I can start kerning words, letters, lines, or paragraphs. It's like, you know what? Let's just drop it from a 9-point to an 8.5 point font size for all these sub indented elements. Mm-hmm. No problem. Open up the layer style. I mean, literally 4 clicks later. Yep. Hey, look, it all fits and good. That PowerPoint would have taken me a lot longer.
Yeah, absolutely. It makes these global changes so much easier and so much. And again, you know, with where PowerPoint wants to move design, they want to bring more design in it. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say just a print thing.
You're right.
But that's where it definitely shows up more because you have more text on the print documents. I know you're right, Sandy.
Yes, that's where my head was.
Well, what's happening with you? You haven't really said besides an info.
I've been traveling. So don't worry about me in the cold, cold north of Minnesota. I was in Atlanta for a...
Because it's warm there.
Oh, yeah, I know. Really balmy. Actually, the week I was there, it was quite warm. It was in the 60s. So it was wonderful. But I was there to help with the sales conference. I had 16 presenters that I was creating presentations for and coached through the presentation process and helped them practice. And the following week in Phoenix for a keynote, I was working with an executive from a company. I was working with a client.
And not to be made.
Exactly. So it was wonderful. It was to get away. I did learn something odd though in this whole, I have a very unique model for conferences, for sales meetings. I think it's a lot more hands-on than the typical, and you're going to know this, Troy, the typical production house, production agency. I didn't realize that I often am playing the role of a producer because I do everything from managing edits to creating show files. And I work hand in hand with the presenters. It's really
that's the key position that we kind of end up doing that. We do a lot of shows where we're self-produced, yes. where we're kind of, we don't have a producer. The more executive it is and the less of a big staged event, the more we self-produce. So I can totally see okay. that.
No, it was just eye-opening for me to understand that I was not traditional.
So why did you, were you working with a company where suddenly they had layers of yes. people and you couldn't figure out why?
Yes, okay, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And my project manager, Chloe, does an awesome job of that relationship, managing that relationship with my clients, my presenters.
This is a call out. Chloe is awesome.
Thank you. She's wonderful. But she works so well. And all of a sudden her role is minimized by a producer. And it was eye-opening. Now I know.
Because I haven't done the agency thing like the two of you have. And when I work for a large, we'll just call it a production company, you know, somebody putting on the meeting, we're often, you know, I mean, it feels like we're suddenly handicapped. I'm sure you felt like I can't do that is what you're probably saying yes. about Sandy, because we go into the larger meetings and you're given a role and you stick to your role. So a larger meeting is going to have an executive producer. Mm-hmm. You're going to have a producer for each, I'll just call it a segment. Presenters will have one, entertainment will have another producer. The video roles will have a video or a content manager, but then presentations have a content manager checking for continuity and right. you know, getting the person that gathers all of it. Then you'll have there's just so many layers of roles that's awesome, but it's often kind of funny when we walk into it, like, really, you want me to just,
yeah.
You also have somebody that just runs the slides and is only responsible for making sure things go on screen accurately. But then there's another editor offline doing all the edits. So, you know, you make your notes, you don't do anything live.
And
it's a different environment. So I'm back. Speaking of that, I mean, we're back in the show site experience. I mean, mid-January through at least May, we have 2 to 4 show site presentation designers booked every week. There is no slowing down until summertime. I've already been on the East Coast twice, 3 times now, and thankfully they're all Florida. So I haven't been up in the colder part, not near Nolan in New York or Jersey. I realize as I say that, we have a team of 4 designers on a project right now in New York City. So while you're listening to this, Lori's up there in New York, enjoying whatever weather is there. So yeah, we're completely into that experience right now among all the other design stuff. So we're busy.
Good.
It's all fun happening.
Good.
Let's talk about news. What's happening?
You know, there's a couple of things on, you know, this one's, it's a tangent to it, but this is early, but I just received within the last few weeks an email from the Presentation Summit about scheduling potential talk topics for this year's Presentation Summit. It's all the way out in it's all the way out in September, and it's going to be hosted in our backyard of San Diego, California. So it's like, wow, I got to get that on my radar. I know you both have been presenters at past summits. Do you guys get anything? You guys
yep.
in the conversation?
Yeah, I got the email and I've already submitted some topics on. I just sort of try to get it out early. It's always difficult for me to come up with completely new topics after speaking sort of year after year. But I think I managed a few proposals. And if anybody's listening and is interested in speaking, now's the time to speak up and just contact Rick Altman for either keynote and or breakout session ideas.
We'll put that link in the show notes just so it's out there because it's kind of something new. I was like, oh.
I submitted ideas, but I did not volunteer to present.
You volunteering other people?
I think Troy should talk about.
No. I didn't even mention names. It's very relevant to what we're going to talk about later today in the podcast. It's 3D. I wanted someone to present on how to use 3D in PowerPoint, what kind of resources are out there. And I know we'll probably get into that today, but very importantly, how to create your own 3D models. I just think that would be really, really a great thing. And I think Microsoft would appreciate that because once we understand how to really well create models, their product will be used more, even more.
You could have like written my suggestion me. I could have saved a lot of my time and just said, whatever Sandy said.
You should do that. Good. I volunteered you.
Okay, what else is news? Because there's more than the presentation summit.
Okay, there's. Let's talk about Mac. There was a recent update for Mac PowerPoint that seems to have wreaked some havoc with fonts. I did not experience it, but I think it has mostly to do with non-standard fonts, non-system fonts. So a lot of people are saying it has caused their custom fonts to disappear and all bad stuff. Supposedly it the fix is you can go, if you have an older version, you can fix that. But I think Microsoft is working on a fix right now.
Okay.
So if you have a Mac and you're on Office 365 and suddenly you find out that like content's not there because the font you're using is not available. Yeah, there's some interesting stuff going on there, which actually I find interesting because when you say system fonts, Mac has embedded fonts that are not available externally anywhere but the Mac OS system.
Correct.
So apparently those fonts were okay. So it wasn't like Microsoft just said their list is okay. It was whatever is in, I don't know, it was kind of an interesting dilemma. Maybe it's a sign that there's some font stuff happening at Microsoft. I do not know. I'm very hopeful.
Well, it was over a year ago when Google, Microsoft, and I can't remember who else it was, is a big three announced that they were working on fonts. So maybe that's a result of that. Well, I have news. It's not as sophisticated as fonts, but it's something that someone who uses charts in PowerPoint is very grateful for. And that's the ability to nudge a chart without having to hit control select.
Yes, this is huge.
It is
such a stupid, easy thing that took forever.
Now, it's still not perfect. Just to describe, you have a chart on a slide. Now you can select the chart and use your arrow keys and it'll nudge whatever the spacing is with the arrow key. What it doesn't do, however, and this to me is even more important, is the ability to nudge elements, particularly labels and that sort of thing within the chart. So we're getting there, but it's...
This is what they've been working on for the last few years instead of fixing footers.
Okay. Yeah, there you go. You're right.
Well, you know what, though? Here's the thing. I think everybody is ecstatic about this, and they have to discover it, because why does that not show up in the what's new little dialogue?
Right.
Like, that should be what's new. Yeah. You can move a chart by just clicking and using your arrow keys.
Yeah, we found out by Steffi Lewis announced it on Facebook, you know. Whatever.
You know what? And what's funny is I now have to give credit to Steffi because I was doing it, but I thought it was one of my add-ins, John Wilson, that was actually overriding the Microsoft commands and doing something better. But now I figured out it wasn't, because I went to another computer that doesn't have his add-ins loaded and I could still do it. I was like, hey, Steffi's got it.
Speaking of, is it an add-in or is it really there, which happens sometimes, is clone label part of PowerPoint or is that an add-in? And do you know what I'm talking about?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay, so this seems to be something that I feel I've just seen recently, but I don't know if it's some add-in that, you know, is no longer active or whatever. But both in Excel and PowerPoint on the Mac, in the sort of format chart, dialog, there's a button called clone label with a little info circle next to it. And when you click the info circle, nothing happens. So I don't know, like you can click a label and you can click clone, but then there's no way to like, paste it to somewhere else. So I'm not really sure what that
it's
is.
It's in the dialog for, so if I were to hit more options for labels, it's in there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just opened up Excel and I went to the little, tell me what you want to do. And I typed in clone label and it basically is locked.
There's nothing.
Hold on. I actually just froze Excel now.
Oh, great. We've uncovered
there
this.
There you go. I can't see it in PowerPoint. You know it. Windows.
Okay. Oh, no, there it is. No, that was just me. Okay. No, I don't see that.
I don't see it. See,
on the Windows side.
Yeah, but I feel like I have almost no plugins on the Mac, so I'm not sure where it's coming from. But
anyway, interesting.
If anybody knows anything about clone label, please let me know. Let us know.
Huh.
All right, let's jump into our topic.
Okay.
Models, which is very different than 3D perspective design, are a big new option for PowerPoint. Huge. Very, very big. In using 3D models, well, is it a novelty, a fad, or a design trend? Join us as we talk about 3D models in PowerPoint as part of slide content.
All right, let's just kick it off by clarifying what we mean. So 3D models are specific file types, I mean, similar to like a JPEG, inserted into PowerPoint that once you do that, they can be viewed and animated and manipulated and all that kind of stuff.
Exactly. It's not a 3D chart that you insert
No. although you can actually, I haven't actually played with it, but you can insert a 3D model and then apply 3D like formatting to it within Power, which is like Matrix, like. But
yeah,
anyway,
we're gonna get into it. So, have you guys used 3D models in a real PowerPoint project?
Nope, not at all. Okay. they've only been out for what, a couple months, if that.
Yeah.
And they're not on the Mac, as we'll talk about. I played around a little bit with them, but not nobody's paid me to use them. Let's put it that way.
Okay, I have. We're pretty excited about it. I've been waiting for this. Last month, all of January, we actually did the presentation blog. My blog was all about 3D models. So we made the whole month the topic there. So our entire team was doing a lot of great presentation ideas that kind of integrate 3D models. For the 2017 TLC Christmas animation, I leveraged 3D models as part of my content. A few other people I did as well. I have an upcoming, this is where I'm really excited though, I have an upcoming auto manufacturer show.
Yes.
So automotives are great because everything they do now is 3D. I've been testing 3D models from their internal assets team and confirming what does and what doesn't work in PowerPoint. We'll talk about that a little bit more. So these are real client presentations that are getting real use of 3D models because the assets are actually 3D models are actually available from, in this case, from the client. We've been integrating them into a few other ones. And a lot of it, like we just did an award show, we created a 3D logo for it. And that was very cool. Just kind of, you know, we control the environment. It isn't going out. I don't have to worry about people not being able to, you know, legacy non-Office 365 users issues with using PowerPoint and 3D models. So right now it's been sparingly used in live content, but we're getting paid for it.
Good. I'm working on it. I recently had worked. I went to the conference I mentioned earlier, and they happened to produce corrugated products, boxes. It would have been the perfect opportunity. You can't often bring a big, huge Samsung TV size box with you on the stage. So we wanted to do a 3D model of that, but there wasn't time to do it. So I've pitched the idea to two divisions of this client of mine, and they're both very, very interested. They salespeople will benefit greatly from it. So I've not done it officially, but I'm working on it.
That's going to be cool.
It is. And my goal is to work with their, they already have an internal studio that does 3D rendering. So Troy, I want to talk with you about what works, what doesn't work, and it'll be a wonderful, wonderful relationship.
All right. So let's give a quick summary of who can use 3D models right now and the file formats supported. I guess, first of all, it's only for Office 365 on the PC, right?
Right.
Correct.
So no legacy support and no Mac support. So while you can still open files that have 3D in them, they're just going to render as flat images and animations aren't going to work.
Can you clarify that for me? So Office 365 subscription, not PowerPoint 2016 desktop.
Correct.
Okay. Troy says correct.
Yeah. It's got to be the desktop version. It has to be an Office 365 subscription version because that's the only place they've rolled it out. And I think by now, the new animations we're going to talk about are now to everybody on Office 365, but that might still be like the whatever we're
insider,
calling the beta
whatever.
Groups.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Yeah.
Okay.
File formats. Anybody got a list of the files that are supported?
Yep, let's play a game, Sandy. You list out the extensions, and I'll say what they actually mean.
FBX.
That stands supposedly for film box format.
That's pretty obvious. How about OBJ?
Object.
Only Ben.
Troy, you give me what you think.
We can play Hollywood Squares. Everybody lies. One person tells the truth. We'll figure out which is real. OBJ's, that's probably the most common.
It looks like object, common. Right? And then there's this one is weird. It's a 3MF.
Troy?
The 3D manufacturing format.
Woohoo!
Oh, I thought you were gonna go.
I was gonna do the Hollywood Squares. Yeah. Not really it.
Oh.
It's 3D manufacturing format. What's next?
Ply. Dot ply.
Like 4-ply, 8-ply wood.
PLY. Try that. PLY.
I went with plywood.
Okay, plywood. Yeah, that stands for polygon format.
Okay,
which makes some
that
sense.
That does. It does. And then there's STL.
Troy?
Stereo theory learning.
Okay, close. Stereo. Okay, stereolithography. Feels very 70s, but okay. Or 18, so like 70s and 1870s. Okay.
And the, I think this is the last one. It's GLB, GLB.
Troy?
Oh, I can't. Global location binary.
Ooh, close.
Okay. I like that. Well, supposedly this one is binar / GL transmission format, which is.
And I actually have no idea what that means.
Yeah, who knows? That's, I think that was part of the Death Star plans. Okay. So
one, two, three, four, five. So there's six. Yeah. 3D model formats that PowerPoint can support, not that it will. There's a lot of reasons why it won't, but in reality, you know, 3D models, there are a lot of the major ones not supported here. So when you go to a 3D model asset site, you're going to look for one of these six file formats, of which you'll probably only find three of them. And then there'll be a whole bunch of other ones. Don't even bother with the others because PowerPoint will not recognize them.
Are any of them better than the others, Troy?
You know, that's a really hard question because yes, in a 3D sense, but it depends on what you're going to use the 3D model for. I've primarily been using FBX, the top one, the film box one that we talked about, OBJ, because that's probably the most universal one, and the 3MF when searching for requesting 3D models, and each with varying levels of success, I will tell you.
Okay.
Now, supposedly, PowerPoint, whatever format you bring in, it converts it to GLB under the hood.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So that's the news that I think I've discovered. And so that's kind of like that would seem to me like the format PowerPoint feels most comfortable with. Again, take that for what you will. It doesn't mean every GLB format you bring in is going to be perfect, but that's supposedly what's happening under the hood.
I actually didn't know that. So that's kind of a cool, I'm going to now open up an XML file and take a look to see what's in there. I'm doing that right now.
If you insert, that could be another way by using the trusty unzip feature to actually convert if you have to convert one to the other. But again, doesn't mean it's going to convert it.
Okay.
Correctly.
That's interesting. So based on this, the list that we have, are there any issues with using a 3D model on Yeah, I know. Don't laugh. For conversation purposes, are there issues on the technical side we should all be aware of? I mean, tell me.
There are so many options supported in 3D modeling software that they can be baked into the file formats. But so you could have an OBJ file that PowerPoint recognizes it, but it could have layer options that are not supported by PowerPoint. PowerPoint just doesn't recognize them.
Yeah.
And a couple of things are going to happen. And I've got some great examples of this. 3D models. There are lots and lots of options baked into 3D models. So the file format is kind of a container for holding everything in it. I think the best analogy is video. An MP4 can have all kinds of different codecs in it. It could have different audio ways the audio is baked into it. And some things PowerPoint recognizes, some things it doesn't. So, 3D models are the same way. It's just hard to know what is and what isn't. As example, a model can have a real 3D model can have multiple light sources, and they actually change or they can be animated. So as the model is viewed from different angles, and basically PowerPoint supports a single non-movable light source. So some 3D models, while you spin it, there will be a reflection, or not the reflection, the light sheen will move with it and it'll show, but it's not a true multi light source or movement. Like a car model, you can actually make the light source pan across the car to create glints all the way across it. The only way those glints will show up in PowerPoint is if you rotate the actual model and the model's moving under the light isn't moving. And then we can get into the whole thing about rig points. So 3D models are pretty much every cartoon your children or you watch on TV now are actually 3D models. And they have rig points. So the elbow is a rigging point, and the wrist, if it's going to wave at you, is a rigging point. So a lot of times you'll open up a 3D model and you'll see these little floating stars. Those are the animation points, but you open it up in PowerPoint and PowerPoint doesn't recognize rig points or rigging points within a model. It just recognizes the whole model. So suddenly, you'll have paid for that, because it takes a lot more to create a 3D model with movement action points in it. PowerPoint doesn't recognize them. So I downloaded a really cool Iron Man one. I thought, oh, this will be really fun. This is a little while ago. I was playing with it. I just got Iron Man kind of standing in his like flying pose, and that was it. I couldn't move his arms, couldn't do anything else. Even though that model in 3D software, I could, you know, make it anything I wanted. It was
okay. Yeah. So then it doesn't animate. Is that what you're saying? Once it's,
well, it doesn't animate in the sense that you could move an arm on the model, but you can move the whole model. Yes. So you can't animate a model, but it's the whole model, not right. individual Got points. It. You know, if you have a dinosaur, you cannot make his mouth open and close like you can in 3D modeling software, because PowerPoint doesn't understand the additional points within a model and can't, it just throws them away.
I get it.
That's a good explanation.
Yeah, that's a very good one.
Fellow MVP Tom Howell has been experimenting a lot. He's written a few articles, which we're going to provide show notes for. I think he was the one that told me that PowerPoint converts it to GLB under the hood. And he's been trying different formats as well with varying levels of success.
Yeah, Tom's been doing a lot of cool stuff. He talked about a few where it strips out textures. Textures are kind of interesting. And I've got a great example of this, because I downloaded a model of a spinning globe. I think I have that. I think I'm going to use that as an example slide later on when we were talking about things to talk about. But so I had this model of the Earth, and I downloaded it. Oh, you know, I should really look this up. But anyways, I downloaded it in one file format, which is right here on my computer. Oh, it was the FBX. So I had it in FBX, I had an OBJ, I had a 3DS, I had it all. So it's a 3D model, but this one skinned a JPEG around it. So it actually had a flat Earth, and it wrapped it around the model, was how it did it. What's funny is PowerPoint didn't do it. I just got this white, bright white sphere. It didn't have the Earth on it.
I downloaded a couple of things from Adobe Stock. They have a developing 3D library, and like I downloaded a bicycle, and the green bicycle became this white, you know, model. Mm. So it stripped out that. I forget what format that was. Hey Troy, are there any memory issues? Because some of these files can start to get pretty large. There's a lot of information in them.
Yeah. Well, again, if you have a really large 3D model, it probably has a lot of stuff that you don't need or can't use. You would like to have it. You'd like to need it. Yeah. 3D model support is one of the larger reasons I'm trying to move all of TLC Creative to 64-bit installs, which basically eliminates a lot of the memory issues that we get with the 32-bit install. There are some pitfalls to going to 64-bit install. Don't jump to it. Like video playback is very, I'll just say, a very narrow window to make it work within the 64-bit world. And we control our content, so I can do that. But yeah, so I've been really weighing how to do this. Right now, we have a couple of machines that are 64-bit and everybody else is 32-bit.
Just to clarify, Troy, you're talking about 64-bit PowerPoint, right?
Office 64-bit. It doesn't matter does matter. Windows has to be 64-bit. Exactly. But Windows and the Mac OS is all 64-bit. Mm-hmm. It has been for much longer than Windows, because they basically realize memory limitations are ridiculous. So we'll just avoid the whole topic by going past it.
Well, it's so, and again, further clarification, most of us are currently running 32-bit because of the potential problems that you just mentioned. I just want to
That and add-ins. If you use add-ins, most of the add-in developers are just now rolling out 64-bit versions of their add-ins. And that's actually one of the other reasons, because most of the add-ins we utilize have 64-bit equivalents now. So
what about design problems? We talked about some technical stuff, but are there like potential design pitfalls or things?
Are you talking about like the fact that we're going to have millions of cheesy cartoon quality 3D models, which are basically what's available for free everywhere?
That's a bad thing. That was a statement.
We're going to go right back to the Clippy era of like, we had cheesy clip art. Now we're going to have cheesy 3D models used the exact same way.
All right. I wish I had something to give away, but I want to we will give props, and I'll come up with some sort of gift for the first person listening to this who can find a 3D model of Clippy that they can send to us and that we can insert into PowerPoint.
Oh,
I want a 3D model of Clippy that I can use in my presentations now.
So, you know what? So sourcing professional 3D model art is not easy right now. No. But you know, Nolan, you said we actually have the Adobe Stock subscription. That's what we're using well, we're going to use it. We're still under the, that is our master account. Mm-hmm. And I've never even thought to look for it in there. What'd you do? Just
there's
type
a,
in
there's a, at the top left, there's a, you know, it says like images, video, whatever.
Oh yeah.
One of those is 3D, or at least, you know, I don't have it. So I actually signed up for a free account, like a 30-day trial. Which I've done before. I don't know why they let me do it again, but I did. And yeah, up at the top left, there's like one of those is 3D.
I have to look at that.
But then some of the 3D models are you have to pay for. So there's some that are free. There's some that are premium. And they're all a lot of them are just feel a little weird. I don't know.
Well, so within it, just as side reference here. So within it, we're paying for the. Well, that price isn't too bad. We're paying for the team account. So everybody on our team has access to Adobe stock images. We go through our allotment almost every month with projects. And I have actually never, you're right. There's a 3D thing and almost every single one of them is a premium, by the way, but the price isn't bad. This is a pretty complex box. If it had animation or rig points, the drawer would actually slide out, I'm sure. But PowerPoint won't recognize that. But it's only $20, which isn't bad in the 3D model.
But as we'll talk about later, those may not necessarily work in PowerPoint. Like the bicycle I downloaded, like it's no longer green. It's like it's not usable. So I actually just tweeted to Adobe Stock today because they said, hey, look, we've got it. I sent out a tweet for which stock houses have it. I told them, I made a suggestion that they should consider having a little badge that says like PowerPoint tested or PowerPoint friendly, because people are going to be downloading these things thinking they can work and they're not, and people are going to get upset. So,
I'm on the Adobe Stock site now. I've clicked on a cool little 3D ball. It's got a wood texture. It's kind of interesting. I don't know what you'd practically use it for, but it's there. But it does have a little information that says this 3D material is optimized for Adobe Dimension CC. Okay, what else we got to talk about?
So just on design, when it was initially launched, the only way you could animate these things was through Morph. Now they've introduced 3D animations, which are good. However, as we've discussed before, if you're going to use Morph, you kind of have to do it for a reason, and it kind of forces you to animate, you know, logically and with a story. Now that we have the ability to, hey, let's just spin this thing around for no reason, I think people are, you know, going to be tempted to do that. So with more options, you know, comes more potential for bad design.
For cheesy.
Yeah. And you can also, you know, you can, I mentioned you can supposedly add 3D to a 3D. You can add reflection and like shadowing to 3D in PowerPoint.
Oh, wait, that's a big topic. If you guys don't know this. Yeah, this is huge. Hold on. Let me just quickly apply the same effect to make sure that things haven't like improved to the point where they change. Yeah, no. Okay. So here's the deal. 3D models, you can apply, say, a drop shadow, a reflection, a bevel, but here's the deal. They look perfect, but Morph no longer respects them. They will become fade transition. So as soon as you apply any effect, there is no more Morph. But the thing I don't know is if you can apply one of those new animations to it. So if I do this.
I think I was testing with Morph. I don't know if I tested with.
Oh, it's interesting. Like you do turntable and it took the drop shadow off my amazing dinosaur. But it's turntabling without the shadow.
And then it puts it back in at the end.
Yeah. And then it puts it back in at the end. Yeah, so the effects, all those effects we're used to, don't use them. That's pretty much it. Unless it's static art on your slide, you can't, and you're going to use traditional like a motion path, then it'll maintain it. But yeah, there's a really big, and I know that I've talked with some of the people at Microsoft, the dev team, and they're really working on making sure people are aware of this and trying to overcome it is, I'm hoping, the solution.
They're aware of it.
Yep.
And then watch out for the other thing. You know, it's not on the design side, but watch out for your file size. Some 3D models are really complex, and you can, it's like inserting a video. You can go from a 500K, half a megabyte file, you know, presentation to, hey, how'd that become 32 megabytes? I only inserted one element. Well, that was a very complex 3D model.
I'm pretty sure I'm going to be using custom 3D models, at least in the short term, until the stock houses have better imagery or things that are more relevant to my needs. I'm sure someday it'll be like purchasing a stock photo. But right now, I want to be able to work hand in hand with the developer, with the designer, to make sure that I don't have any of the problems you're talking about. Now, I don't know. When I put a sheen in a dispenser product, is that sheen going to go away and be stripped out by PowerPoint? It may be something I can't ever avoid.
Well, I think what's going to happen is what will evolve first is that people are going to figure out the standards or the limits of PowerPoint, and there'll be standards for developing 3D models. Like if I do this, I know it'll be, like you're saying, Nolan, it'll be PowerPoint compatible. So right now, nobody knows what those limits are. In addition, I'm kind of expecting Microsoft to continually enhance the ability to recognize these things. I think people are going to figure out what they can do in 3D modeling that'll be PowerPoint compatible. And I think that PowerPoint or Office in general, we're saying PowerPoint, we should clarify, 3D models can be inserted into PowerPoint where we live. They can be inserted into Word, and they can be inserted into Excel. So it's an office-wide file
because everyone support. Loves a spreadsheet with a rotating dinosaur.
Hey, he's pretty, did you not play with the dinosaur right now as my sample? So on a tangent, the example that Microsoft gave, though, with the bicycle, do you guys see that one with the Excel file? Okay, so they did one with a bicycle, and they showed it in PowerPoint. They zoomed around all the different parts. It made total sense that you would have this support in Excel. Again, auto manufacturer. I did a show last year. The auto manufacturer literally had the new vehicle that wasn't available yet to the general public. Every single, down to every bolt, was available as a 3D model. And they started with the huge thing. They could type in the part number, or you could keep drilling down till you found what you wanted. So they have every single, like literally every single component of a car is a 3D model. Microsoft had this very cool, very simple, but very eye-opening idea. They had an Excel file, and on the left-hand side, it had the part number. Next to it, they had the description. Next to that, they had an image. It was basically, they took the exact same 3D model and they just zoomed into different points. So they only had one, they only have one reference art piece, but they could create an entire inventory sheet for, in this case, it was a bicycle. It was kind of eye-opening. Like, that is a brilliant use because they could rotate the 3D model to show the different components. It does have value in the 3D realm. What else we talk? So what's the coolest use of a 3D model you've either done or seen so far?
Oh, I've seen a lot of cool uses out there. I mentioned the Hubble, the original demo that came out from Microsoft. And then there are several of our colleagues who have introduced really, really awesome use of it. For me personally, I have not been able to use it in a presentation, but I mentioned earlier, I've pitched it to a couple of my clients. And what I did was I took a photo of their real product. Then I found a reasonable facsimile in 3D, and I demonstrated how that item could be really useful in a sales environment, in a training environment, if it were converted to 3D. So my two clients that I pitched this to are really, really excited about it. I have to, you know, of course, caution them that there are limitations, but I'm hoping that I can make that a reality very, very soon.
One of my favorite real slides was a global operations stat slide. And it's the one we created. And it was using that globe I was talking about where we, you know, I got a big white ball. The original slide, it was a nice slide that we actually grabbed. It was a very stylized image of a globe. And it had very stylized call outs for each kind of corporate stat they wanted to do overall. Very, very cool slide. So it was a really nice slide. And then we decided we should probably make it different and better, different being the key, you know, just because we want to show the client we could do something cool with 3D models. So what we did is the globe, actually, it was kind of a lower thirds globe. So it covered, you know, it was cut off, and we rotated the globe with each transition. So we actually built it across a number of slides instead of a single slide with animation. We used Morph and we spun the globe, and the little arrow would come down to point to that country. And then the stat would come out in this really cool stylized look. So we had five stats across five slides. As far as a presentation thing goes, it was the same thing, five clicks. You know, the original slide, it was one slide. They click five times, bring up the five stats all together. We wanted to make them bigger and kind of show this 3D thing. So, you know, it spun the globe to a new point, and it's a really cool slide.
Tom Howell has a nice demo using a 3D map of Venice, which is a nice city to do this with, I think, where he zooms in on various buildings and parts of the city as part of a presentation. So that was kind of neat. What about like any hidden or tricky to discover kind of formatting tips with 3D models that you've discovered?
Have you guys found the pan tool for 3D tools? It's kind of tricky to find. It's hard. It's a bit hard to discover and it's a bit hard to figure out. But once you do, it's actually a really useful tool within the PowerPoint world. You guys seen it? The little it adds a little magnifying glass icon to the image.
Yeah, it's under 3D formatting, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. You click on a model, you go under 3D model tools in the format, and then there's a little thing called pan and zoom. You got to click it, and then it lets you basically zoom, like change the size of the model. It could be, you know, you can make it zoom back, but the bounding box doesn't change, which is the important thing. So the bounding box stays the same, and then you could rotate it within it. So that's a cool tool that I don't think a lot of people will find right away because it's not obvious that it's there.
A small thing is, just like with images and video, you can drag and drop models, so you don't have to use the insert feature.
Oh, that's good. Yes. Good to know.
All right. So where are we sourcing our 3D models from? We mentioned Adobe Stock a little bit, Remix, which is Microsoft's, right? And that's where you can insert stuff from directly from PowerPoint and go right to it, insert 3D. Envato Market, Envato, somebody turned me on to. That's one of the few places I found you can buy stock 3D files. I think they've got a lot more than Adobe Stock does. I think they're earlier to the game. And as we've talked about Adobe Stock, it feels very first generation, kind of sterile. And one of my favorite ones that I found on Adobe Stock was a 3D model of an 8-inch floppy disk. I'm not sure why. And
oh,
I'm not
brilliant.
Sure why anybody's taking time out of their life to create
funny.
That. But
okay,
I think Microsoft did a great job with the Remix 3D. I mean, it's not branded Microsoft. I don't think people would even know it's Microsoft, but they've been going out and curating models that work with Windows Creator, because it works with all the Office products and Paint 3D and everything else. So I think that is a huge resource. I found a lot at TurboSquid.
Yes,
funny
it's a good
name,
one.
Lots of cool stuff. And the other one everybody should know about is Free 3D. I'll throw the link in there, but I think it's just free3d.com. It's literally that. They have tons of models and you can download them for free and you can figure out what does and doesn't work because it's not a highly regulated environment. So you get all kinds of stuff coming through there. Be cautious about pricing if you want to go buy them. They can get expensive really fast. And if they're expensive, it almost guarantees there are options that PowerPoint cannot use built into that file format.
As we mentioned, like it would be really nice to for some of these places to say this works in PowerPoint or doesn't.
Exactly. I have a couple.
Or here are the limits. Sorry, here are the here limitations. Are the,
right. Here's well, in PowerPoint, Microsoft could take some responsibility at this end by recognizing things. You think that's possible? You know,
I just like this thing. Microsoft should take responsibility.
Yeah, I know. It was kind of a question that wasn't a question. It was a statement of fact. There's also Google Poly.
Oh, I've never heard of that.
Yep. But that's a lot of those. It's like Remix. There's a lot of cartoon characters in there. I liked the one that you mentioned, Troy, TurboSquid. I think that was.
Is that your dog with a squeaker?
It is. We have a new puppy. Okay. The puppy's going crazy.
TurboSquid has a lot of variety on their site. And similarly, Sketchfab. Did you try that one?
No.
Oh, yeah.
No, I don't know.
It reminds me of TurboSquid. But again, pricing, it can get expensive. And just beware, buyer beware.
I quickly typed in Google Poly because I've never heard of that. It's a lot of homemade,
cartoony,
cartoony looking stuff. But Sketchfab's pretty cool. Yeah. Okay. So let's do this. What is, because this has been a great conversation because there's so many things we can talk about with a new topic. Hey, we are way ahead of the curve, by the way, because most people don't have 3D model support and most people don't understand what 3D models are. You know, we had a great conversation. I should say I had a great conversation with somebody, another designer, when I said, the 3D model. And they just assumed I meant 3D making 3D content in PowerPoint using the 3D perspective. I was like, no, that's 3D perspective. This is a model that I can actually rotate and this and that. And they're like, well, yeah, you can make a box 3D and then rotate. Yeah. I'm like, you're right, but this is a different 3D. And Nolan, they worked on a Mac, so they had no clue because they didn't have an option to even see it. So I think that we're way ahead of the curve on this conversation. I think we'll probably revisit this in like a year where everybody's talking about, I saw this and you know, cool stuff. But what do you think is the future of 3D models in presentations? Is there a real future for using this file format in, I'll just say, professional content presentations?
Yeah, I mean, I think you absolutely are going to have custom created 3D models, and you're already seeing it. Like, you know, here's my product. Here's, you know, the car. Here's the, you know, the medical industry. You know, here's, and a lot of that stuff already exists. So people are going to be using, you know, here's the 3D model of the digestive system, whatever. So I think that's, you're going to see a lot more of that. I think more stock sites are definitely going to start offering them. We talked about a bunch of them, but I think the quality is going to go up. And you know, maybe price will come down and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, people on iStock or Shutterstock or whatever are going to, just as they're downloading a JPEG of the kid selling lemonade, they're going to be able to download the spinning globe and pop that in for better or worse. I also think eventually there are going to be some more user-friendly ways developed for creating custom 3D models. So you don't have to go to a, you know, specialty shop or, you know, have all that
definitely
knowledge. For example, I can almost guarantee Apple's going to come out, or somebody with the ability, like, to take a 3D picture of something. You know, you pan your phone around something and it'll convert it to a 3D format. Obviously there'll be many generations of that, but I'm sure that's going to come eventually.
Yeah, I think we'll go through some hiccups where it's abused and used, but remember the old days, and it's still done in big agencies and big projects and all that, but we used to shoot custom photography for everything, for every brochure, for every ad, for every flyer. I see that happening when it comes to 3D, is to creating custom 3D for sales and training. A lot of it's already out there, but it's not compatible with, or it's not in PowerPoint. Now that a salesperson or a trainer can actually have that in their presentation, I think that's where it's really going to take off.
Yeah, I think, I mean, in a way, for some people, it might actually, this might be a return to PowerPoint. Maybe people who've sort of abandoned it in certain sort of presentation modes.
Right, flat.
Maybe we'll come back to it.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
I agree.
So the future of 3D models and presentations, it's got to, because PowerPoint is used so many, and we use it so many different ways. I mean, look at our opening. Sandy, you talked about making a print infographic, you know, show site stuff. We're using really wild sizing, not standard stuff. I mean, I'm very excited to do, to see my first proposal for a Disney-esque or an auto show where they give me basically, you know, 120 foot long band for my projection. I can drive the cars forward and back on it. You know, it's going to be very cool, as opposed to something standard aspect ratio. You can do this. I think the cheesy will continue. I mean, it's just not going to go away, because there's so many models out there. By the way, I just downloaded one from Google Poly. Yeah, it was donuts in a box, and they're really bad polygons. You know, they got all the hard edges. And Nolan, just to your point, it inserted into PowerPoint, but they're all white now. It didn't keep any of the skinning on them.
So they're all powder. They're all powder donuts now.
Right. powder donuts, exactly, in a white box. But I do think the professional models and use of professional elements will become more of a standard, just as it's just another evolution of presentation design. The only advantage going here is that there is an expectation of what professional visuals are. I think a future thing that would be really cool is when you're in the edit mode, you get the little, little atom icon, so you can spin your model around. Imagine using that as a touchscreen interface in show mode. So you can create a kiosk with movable 3D models. They don't have that interactivity yet, where, you know, things like that, you have to use an external application. But if PowerPoint can integrate something like that, all of a sudden PowerPoint would become even further entrenched in things like digital signage and interactive games, or, you know, who knows what. So I think there's
a huge
future.
Don't forget AR and VR. That's probably, I mean, it's a logical next step once this gets nailed.
You know what? If you could do the 3D rotation thing, like you do an edit mode in VR mode, so you have the model and you spin it around. That's absolutely perfect. Huh. Hey, we're just calling it right now. Microsoft, you should do that. So when they do it, we can now take credit, right? Models are the latest file format supported by PowerPoint and actually all of Microsoft Office. But like the vector SVG and movie files with MP4 and MOV, PowerPoint has support for, well, specific parameters of 3D models, where unlike a .png image, it's, you know, virtually assured to work in any version of PowerPoint. 3D models, SVG, vector art, MP4, movies, they can have just so many file options that are not supported by PowerPoint. And do not have an absolute guarantee of being usable, at least without a conversion. We see, I believe all three of us can see, a trend of, well, as I said, cheesy or tchotchke 3D model presentations coming out in abundance, mm-hmm. basically in the next year. The long-term use of 3D models, it's going to be a welcome addition to the professional designer toolbox.
Do you guys have any pro tips or tech tips?
Okay, I've got one, but I can't pronounce it. It's the cup, and it's the, and everybody, if you have an iPhone 8 or 8 Plus or X or whatever, you need it because the little audio jack is now missing from, oh, I guess this would be an iPhone 7 as well. Mm. Sorry, I skipped that generation. But the, I'm just going to spell it WOFALODAT.
Wofalodata.
They have an iPhone, it's the Lightning Power Audio Splitter. It's certified. It works with OS 11 because I had bought some other ones and we upgraded to the new operating system and suddenly they didn't work because they weren't certified. You get this little notice that says not a certified compatible option. So for $12 on Amazon, you can get an actual splitter that's very low profile, lets you listen to music through your nice legacy audio jack that every single device still uses and also charge your phone at the same time. So I'm going to put that out there because it's been awesome to not have my phone go dead on a long international flight while I listen to podcasts.
All right. I've got another hard one to pronounce. Sooms.io. That's S-O-O-M-Z. And this is one of those little camera privacy protectors, which I, after hearing people talk about them forever, I was like, all right, I'll just do it. So it's this tiny little, it's really tiny, like it just barely covers the camera on your phone or laptop or desktop. So I don't have it on my phone, but I've got it on my two monitors and my, oh. my laptop. I bought a package of three and it's this little oval thing with an adhesive back. So you stick it on and then in the oval, there's a little circle and it's actually magnetic, which helps with installation. But then it's a little slider. You slide it up to or however you put it on. You slide it one way to cover the camera, slide it down to take it off. So
good idea. So I like
take
it.
That, oh, so cool. Take that, NSA.
Yeah, take that.
That kind of sounds a lot classier than my sticky note.
Exactly.
That's stuck
it really, it's, I looked around and it was like the lowest profile one and it kind of integrates and you don't really see it. So it's, yeah.
Spell it again so I can look it up.
Sooms, SOOMZ.io. You can get it from their site or from Amazon.
I like it. Well, mine is really fun. Have you heard of the online game HQ?
No.
Okay, so it's currently just on iPhone. It's an online game quiz game that consists of 12 questions, a host that asks the questions. You have 10 seconds beginning when the host starts asking the question to answer the question. You have multiple choice of three. It's a fun thing to do on your own. It's fun to, when you have the family together, everybody gets together. You can do it on FaceTime and Skype or whatever. You literally get 3 seconds by time the question's done to answer these questions. That's very, very fun. 10 seconds to answer 12 questions. It starts with really simple, basic that everyone should get to really, really obscure that no one gets. I've only made it to level nine of 12 questions ever. It's just a cool. No, try it. It's addicting. It's fun. Every day.
I've already installed it as you've
really
been talking.
Funny. It's plays 3 o'clock and 3 o'clock and 8 o'clock Central Time every day.
Oh, you have to play. You can't play it any other time.
Oh, is it multiplayer? You're playing against everybody else.
You're playing against the world. That's what's really fun about it. Yeah. It's playing against the world at those times.
Interesting. So let's hear today's pro tips. With mine, you can listen to the quiz show and still charge your phone. With Nolan's, you can protect the privacy of your camera. And with Sandy's, you can lose your whole day of design by playing trivia. Oh, I guess you can't lose the whole day because it's only two times a day.
Yes, it's only two times a day.
This is Troy from TLC Creative Services, a graphic design studio focused on presentation design with an in-house team of designers. Find us at tlccreative.com, thepowerpointblog.com, and Facebook / TLC Creative.
This is Nolan Hames from Nolan Hames Creative. Check out my blog, presentyourstory.com. Subscribe for lots of free downloads and goodies. And thank you, Steffi, for the updates that we're working on. If you're interested in training, give me a holler at nolanhamescreative.com. And because that's what we do.
And this is Sandy Johnson with Presentation Whiz. You can visit my website and blog at presentationwhiz.biz, the Presentation Guild at presentationguild.org. And I'm also on LinkedIn as Sandra Johnson, Microsoft PowerPoint MVP, and Twitter as PPTWhiz.
For episode show notes, links, and more from this episode, visit us at our website, www.thepresentationpodcast.com. The Presentation Podcast is produced by TLC Creative Services, Inc. You can contact us with episode suggestions, questions for our hosts, or comments through our website. Subscribe at the iTunes Store or at our website for additional options. If you like the podcast, rate us on iTunes. Stars and reviews are greatly appreciated. Look for new episodes the first and third Tuesday of each month.